Well, good morning to you. You know, one of the truly great things about living in the Panhandle is our view of the universe from here. I don't know if you ever do this, but just a few miles outside of town, when it's dark and there's no moon out, you can go out and you can look up at the stars and you could see thousands, maybe tens of thousands of twinkling stars throughout the universe above us. It's a beautiful sight. But just imagine with me two people looking in a summer's night up at the same sky from the same vantage point. And the first sees, as he looks up, he sees thousands of tiny specks of light, some twinkling, some not, some brighter, some dimmer. He makes out constellations. He can see more stars than he can count. But they're still only specks of light. No matter how hard he strains his eyes to see, they're just specks of light. However, the other person who is there, he sees the majestic and the beautiful rings of Saturn. He sees Jupiter in its red eye. He sees the mountains and the valleys of Mars. He, as he looks out, maybe he sees galaxies with other suns and other planets. Maybe he sees those mysterious nebula out there or moons of other planets in our solar system. So what is the difference between the two? Well, obviously, one has a telescope and the other does not, right? The telescope takes something that is far, far away from us, something we can't see with the naked human eye, and it brings it near to us as if it were present right here in our present experience. The telescope, it doesn't create reality. It's not like a painting or like art is in that way. It doesn't create something that's out there that's not. It only shows us what is actually there, but we could not see it without it. Now, I want to talk about today is the key word from the book of Habakkuk. Now, we just finished studying our way through the book of Habakkuk together, and the key word from that study together, from that book, is that word faith. Faith. And I want you to think about how faith is like that telescope, if you will. So the future promises of God, the spiritual realities of the present, these things are invisible to us to the naked eye. You don't discover God through the scientific method. You don't discover God or his ways through just observation only. So how do we know what we cannot see? How do we know? Faith is what brings something that is far, far away, something that is invisible to us. It's actually there. It doesn't create reality, but it brings it to us so that we can see it, because we can't see it apart from faith. So faith sees the truth of God, the truth of God, the invisible truths of God and the spiritual realities as if they are present here with us. That's why two people can look at the same circumstances of their lives. As they look at their lives, they look at the circumstances, and one person can look at their circumstances and say, man, this is just a mess. This is meaningless trouble. I have a hopeless future. But another person may look at those same circumstances, and he may see the goodness and the grace of God. He may see reason for joy and hope. He may experience the peace of God in his present circumstances. And the difference is, what's the difference? The difference is one has faith and the other does not. So faith allows us to see beyond what we can see with our eyes, what we can know from our own perspective, to see beyond our present circumstances. So it's meant to reorient our lives. Just like the telescope did for Galileo and all who came after him. It changed the world and our understanding of it. And so should faith in our lives. And so by faith we see, we know, we believe what is impossible to see, to know, to believe without faith. Because without faith, the present, maybe our present circumstances and the future to us are just simply like those specks of light that you'd see when you look up at the universe, at the night sky. mysterious, beautiful, awe-inspiring, but still just specks of light, right? But faith brings the present and the future into clearer view for us. So faith, that's the main idea of the book of Habakkuk. You may remember that key verse when it calls us to live by faith. That key verse from Habakkuk, Habakkuk 2:4, it says, "The righteous shall live by faith." And that truth from God is what reoriented Habakkuk to the truth of God about his present circumstances and his future hope. That the righteous will live by faith. So today what I want to do is I want to pick up in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, we find the author of Hebrews quoting Habakkuk 2:4. And there he's quoting Habakkuk 2:4, and he's saying, just like it was for Habakkuk, so it is for us today. Habakkuk was called to live by faith in the truth of God, and so we are still today called to live by faith. And you see, the people of the recipients of the book of Habakkuk were much like the people in Habakkuk's day. They were going through some hard things. There was some severe persecution that was facing the church in that day. And these, as they faced this persecution, they were experiencing the loss of credibility, the loss of their influence, the loss of their jobs, the loss of their homes, some of them even the loss of their lives. But like Habakkuk, the author of the book of Hebrews is writing to them to say, listen, God is calling you to live by faith, to see your perspective of your present circumstances in light of the faith and the truth about who God is and what he's doing in the world and your hope and truth in him. So to trust God in your present circumstances, to trust his word, to have a future hope of glory, of glory. However, we're going to that's Hebrews 10, the end of Hebrews 10. But really where we're going to spend our time today is going to be in the beginning of chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Because following that quote at the end of chapter 10 of Habakkuk 2:4, he goes on in chapter 11, which is where we'll be today, to answer some really important questions. And those questions are, if we are to live by faith, what is this faith? What does it look like? What does it do? So I thought this would be a suitable conclusion to our study through Habakkuk together, because if faith is so important, if faith is what God is calling us to from beginning to end of the Bible, when we read the Bible, it's calling us to faith. If this is what God is calling us to, then we need to be absolutely clear as to what it is God is calling us to. What does it mean? Are we living in faith, in light of faith and truth, in trust in the Lord? Are we walking by faith today? So that's the purpose of Hebrews 11. So let's look at these first couple of verses together. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. If you'd stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, just these first six verses here. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, and God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, that he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we hear these words, which are your words to us, we want to receive them as words which help us to understand the truth of this thing called faith. Here we have definition and illustration. But Lord, I pray today that these words here would not just simply be the words that would just be simply imparting more information to us about something we ought to know, but help us to understand this is something we ought to do and to live today. Help us to be a people who live by faith and not just by sight. So give us clarity as to what that might mean for us in our own lives today. Give us application. Make us into the people of faith you'd have us to be today by the power and the truth of your word at work in us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So last week I said that sometimes there's no happily ever after in our story. Not for broken people in a broken world, which is exactly what we are, aren't we? And Habakkuk was one such story, wasn't it? I mean, in Habakkuk's story, his story would end in ruin and in destitution and in suffering, in the fall of a nation under the judgment of God. But faith in the goodness of God would lead Habakkuk to this conclusion, to be able to say at the end of the story, remember the end of Habakkuk, this is what he says. He says, even though everything else is terrible, even though everything else is in ruins, yet I will trust the Lord and find joy or rejoice in the God of my salvation. Right, that's his conclusion at the end of the day. And that is faith in the future promises of God. That's looking beyond his present circumstances to see the hand of God at work in the end and to know who God is and know about his future promises. So it's in some ways, it's looking through the telescope of faith, isn't it? That's what Habakkuk was doing. And so when I said that there's not always a happy ending in every story, I assume that you understand me to mean in this present life. In this present life. In this present life, there's not always a happy ending to our story. Sometimes we have to face the reality of suffering in our lives. Sometimes troubles we have to walk through in our lives. But I did not mean to imply by that there is no greater happy ending at the end of the bigger story. Because if there wasn't, there wouldn't be any hope today. If there wasn't any hope, then we wouldn't be here. But there is hope for us because when we look beyond just our present life and our present circumstances, we can see the invisible things. We can see the future things that God has by faith. And the Bible is clear on this, that there is a certain and a sure happy ending to all who belong to God in Christ. And that certain ending is eternal life, heaven, forgiveness, the presence of God, perfection, glory. This is the end of the story after this world and this life for the people of God. And this is where the telescope image helps us in some way. In this life, we experience trouble, we experience suffering, trial, hardship, and so there's no escape in this life from just the brokenness of this world. But sometimes seeing the purpose and the goodness of God is like straining to see the rings of Saturn with your own naked eye, right? It's not possible. What we need is the telescope of faith to pull into perspective the future truth and promises of God, promises of hope, promises of glory, which may be far, far in the future and very distant from our present reality and our circumstances today, but faith brings those truths in as true for us today. Now, John Calvin did not know of a telescope. It was not invented yet in his day. But he uses a similar illustration for faith. He calls faith the spectacles of faith, and spectacles is just an old word for corrective lenses or what we would call glasses, right? So if I remove my glasses, which I won't because I may just stumble and fall up here if I did, if I remove my glasses, I can still see, sort of, right? Sort of. I couldn't see faces really and people out there and shapes and individual things. I couldn't see the clock up there. I couldn't see, you know, the piano over here. I just, you know, I can see sort of, but not clearly. And so what Calvin said is that faith are like spectacles that we put on that brings everything into focus, into clarity. And so Calvin says that's what faith's like. It brings our life into focus with God's truth. Remember the old cartoon, Mr. Magoo? If you're old enough to remember those cartoons, Mr. Magoo. He was this older guy who walked around with a cane and these real thick glasses. But even though he had these big thick glasses on, he couldn't see a thing, right? And so he was always walking off of buildings, and he's walking, falling into holes. And he was talking to animals, thinking they were people, you know, because he just couldn't see. He couldn't navigate his world. He could sort of see, but he couldn't navigate his world without being able to see clearly, right? And so the Bible says, without faith, we are all like Mr. Magoo in this world, unable to see clearly. And when we're unable to see clearly, we are in danger of falling into holes, tripping over things, right? Spiritually speaking, especially, misunderstanding our circumstances because we just don't understand what's going on. We don't see clearly. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that everyone is Mr. Magoo without faith. Well, actually, his actual words are 1 Corinthians 2. He says, the natural person, that is the person without faith, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Spiritual things, invisible things. The natural person without faith doesn't accept those things. They are foolishness to him, he says, and he is not able to understand them because they are to be spiritually discerned. You see, well, he says what you need is the telescope of faith or the spectacles of faith to be able to see what is invisible to the human eye. So this is the key to understanding Habakkuk's conclusion. Without faith, Habakkuk can only see suffering, trouble, pain, loss, grief, danger, turmoil ahead. Right? There's nothing else to see when all you see is the fearsome, merciless Babylonian army that is marching towards your city. That's all you can see. You see, there's something beyond the Babylonian army to see, isn't there? Something that's too far to see from our present vantage point and our own human perspective. And it is the goodness and the grace of God. It is the hidden hand of God at work in everything. It is the promise that God will preserve and rescue his people from the greatest danger of all, and that is ultimate punishment for our rebellion against him and our sin against him, and that God's eternal reward is with him. These are the things we have to see beyond our present circumstances and our present troubles. But these are the things that can only be seen when they're grasped by faith and not by sight. And so here we have a working definition of faith that we read here in Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, what's he talking about? What are the things hoped for? What are the things not seen? Well, he's talking about spiritual truths and realities, that God exists, that God made the world. He mentions those things here. That God has spoken in his word. That God is good. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. That God cares for us. That God is at work in our lives. That he is sovereign. That God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. That there is a judgment to come. There is a heaven and a hell. These are spiritual truths that we are to know about the present and the future that we can't see with our own eyes. So we're called to have confidence in these things. Confidence that what God has said we believe to be true. So when we think about what it means to live by faith, there are two important words here in this definition. Those two words are assurance and conviction. You see those words here, assurance and conviction. These words are meant to tell us that faith is not just a positive attitude about life. Okay, some people can think that's maybe what faith is, but it's not just a positive attitude about life, nor is it hoping that something may happen, or we wish something to happen that may or may not happen, nor is it just a feeling that we have. But these are words here, assurance and conviction, that are words that tell us we are to have a sure confidence in something. So the enemy of faith is doubt or wavering in what we believe. This is in fact what the Bible tells us about faith. So you remember Jesus who's walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee, and they're walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee. He sees Peter. Peter sees him. He calls Peter to join him on the water. And Peter miraculously does. Peter walks on the water. They're out towards Jesus until, the Bible tells us, until he saw the wind and the waves around him, and the Bible says he began to doubt. And in his doubt, he lost his faith, and there he began to sink. And Jesus catches him. Just as Jesus always catches us, doesn't he? But he says to Peter, he says, Peter, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Right? You see, there's everything that we know about the physical world, right? And everything we know about the physical world is that tells us that it is impossible to walk on water. Our parents teach us this when we're little. Physics teaches us this. Our own experience teaches us this. But for a moment there, Peter, with the spectacles of faith, he sees something that is beyond just the laws of nature. He sees Jesus is God, and as Jesus is God, he is able to do the impossible. And so he trusts him, and faith believes and doesn't doubt. And by faith, he began to walk on the water, and then when he began to doubt, he began to sink. Later, Jesus would say to all of the disciples, he would say to them, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can say to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. So clearly, faith in God is the opposite of doubt, he says. Faith is not uncertain. Faith is not reserved, but faith is a wholehearted trust in the Lord. I think that's why Jesus tells us that we can learn something about the nature of genuine biblical faith from the trust of a child. You know how a child trusts, a little child, they just have this simple childlike trust about them. So when somebody tells them something, they just believe it, right? Without doubt, without reservation. And so it is to be with our faith towards God, Jesus says. You see, prayer is not meant to be some kind of just wishful thinking. Nor is it just wanting and hoping for something that we don't really believe that we will receive. But faith is confidence, you see. Confidence, not confidence that we're going to get everything that we want, but a confidence that God hears us, God knows, God cares, God is able, God is wise, God is good. Confidence in these things. And so you remember what Jesus said to that one disciple who struggled with his doubt, that disciple known as Doubting Thomas. Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I touch the wounds in his side, I will not believe. This was after his death and resurrection. And a week later, Jesus shows up in the midst of his disciples, and he approaches Thomas, and he says, Thomas, touch the wounds in my hand. Touch my side. And this is what he says to Thomas. He says, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God, by faith, right? And the book of James picks this teaching up of Jesus, and it reminds us, it says, when you ask of God, you must believe and not doubt, he says, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So again, assurance and conviction are important words that tell us something about the nature of genuine biblical faith. It is not wishful thinking. It is not blind irrationality. But most importantly, it is trust in a person. You see, confidence, this is not confidence in our own confidence. That doesn't even make sense, does it? But some people define faith that way, as faith is faith in our faith. But you see, assurance here, assurance is never assurance in ourselves. But this is the assurance and the confidence we have in God as we trust in him. So for the moment that he does, when Peter walks on the water, he doesn't walk on the water because somehow he's confident that he can do it. Why does he walk on the water? Because he's confident that Jesus can make him do it. And Jesus is the one who's calling Peter to do it, right? So we ought not to just be asking, like, where is our faith? But more precisely, we ought to be asking, in whom is our faith? Or in what is our faith? But in whom is our faith? Our faith is not even in the cross, nor in the Bible, nor in the gospel message. To be more precise, our faith is to be in the person of Jesus Christ. The cross is just a piece of wood. The Bible is just ink and paper, right? The gospel is just information, but they are all pointing us to a person. Jesus is the one who is ultimately trustworthy. God is the only object of our faith. So So faith means trusting the word of God, the work of God, the faithfulness of God, because it is a trust in God. It is believing that God can and will do whatever he says he will do. And so when God tells Abraham and his barren wife that they're in their old age, that they're going to have a child, something humanly impossible, Abraham believes that God can and will do what he says he will do. It's faith, right? And for Abraham, this is what is hoped for. This is what is not seen. And yet he accepts it as truth. This is assurance to him. That's what these examples in Hebrews 11 are all about, right? For Noah, what is unseen is the coming flood. And yet he believes God will do what he says he would do. And so he builds a boat, right? And this is the nature of faith for Isaac, for Jacob, for Joseph, for Moses, for Rahab, and so on. They all acted in the present because they had a confidence that God would do what he said he would do. And so for Habakkuk, that meant believing the future promises of God, that even though judgment was coming in the present for him, that judgment wouldn't be the final and the last word of God for his people, right? That God will certainly redeem and rescue his people, that God is good and God is at work, that he can trust God in his present circumstances, as bad as they are in that moment. That's why faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is confident that God is right, even when we cannot see or understand his way. So that's the connection between Hebrews 11 and Habakkuk 2:4. So faith has sometimes been illustrated as sitting in a chair. Have you ever heard that illustration before? That when you sit in a chair, you are trusting in that chair, at least when you really just plop down on it, you're trusting in that chair to hold you up, right? But genuine biblical faith is not exactly like faith that's sitting in the chair that you see and you can touch, right? That's easy to trust a chair like that. We're confident that this chair is going to hold me up if I sit in it. But really, that's not genuine faith. That's really just faith or confidence in my own experience with chairs. I can look at it. I see it's got four legs. It looks sturdy. And I've sat in these chairs many, many times. So I feel pretty confident this chair is going to hold me up. That's just confidence in my experience, my understanding of the world, and my knowledge of things. But what if you cannot see or feel the chair? Right? What if it's invisible to you, but somebody tells you to sit on the chair that's behind you? Maybe you're blindfolded and you can't feel with your hands are handcuffed or something. And somebody says, there's a chair right behind you. Just plop down and sit on that chair, will you? I mean, how confident are you now? It depends on who's telling you to sit, right? And whether you trust them or not. And so when God says all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, whether you believe that or not in your present circumstances depends on whether you trust the one who said it or not. I think that's why hardship and suffering and not peace and prosperity are the actual tests of our faith. It doesn't take faith to think that somehow I'm going to be provided for when I've got lots of money in the bank. That doesn't take much faith. But the real test of faith is when the bank account's empty and the bills are coming due and we don't know where the provision's going to come from. Are we going to trust God in that moment or not? That's the test of faith, isn't it? That's at the heart of what it means to walk by faith, isn't it? So people who live by faith trust God's promises and his word even without evidence that these promises would come to pass. Actually, we could say that the evidence is God himself. There, we don't need other evidence that somehow I don't have to look at the chair. I don't have to feel the chair. I don't have to see that it's sturdy and see the four legs, right? Simply trust the Lord. Or very simply, faith means taking God at His word, to trust His promises, even when those promises seem impossible to us. Isn't that the example of all these men and women of faith here in Hebrews 11? They trusted God for the invisible, for the improbable, even for the impossible. They believed in God's trustworthiness without understanding, without doubt. So what has God ever said that has not come true? What has ever God ever promised that He did not fulfill? Now, it may not have been fulfilled in our timeline, but God has always kept His word, hasn't He? And I hope you know that. And because God has proven Himself faithful in every single word, then we can be sure of His grace and mercy in Christ. We can be sure of eternal life in Christ. We can know His good providence at work in our lives. We can be certain of His love for us. We can be sure of a future hope of glory despite our present suffering. How can we be sure? Because God has told us, and we can take Him at His word. And so living by faith today means banking your life on the truth of God about your present circumstances. It means trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. It means believing that you are who God says that you are, regardless of how you feel, so that you are loved. You are forgiven in Christ. You are in the hand of God. And the most important truth is that you belong to Him. No one or nothing can snatch you out of His hand. This is what God has told us, right? And so faith means living today in light of God's future promise of glory. It's why the Apostle Paul can look at his circumstances and he can say, these light and momentary afflictions are merely preparing us for eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Was that just wishful positive thinking for Paul? No, that is the promise and the truth of God that Paul was banking his life on. You know, one important thing that we learn from Hebrews 11 here is that faith is not just knowing something intellectually, is it? Faith is to be lived out, it shows us here. So if you follow through the rest of Hebrews 11, you know what it says here is that by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham left his home and followed God. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, and so on and so on. And we're meant to understand that faith, or at least the fruit of faith, is meant to be this outward action in our lives. It's not just thinking something, it is doing something. It at least means, because we trust God without reservation for our lives, it ought to mean that we put sin to death in our lives. It means we our worship and our obedience offered to God. It means us giving sacrificially. It means going with the gospel. It means choosing forgiveness over bitterness and joy over worry and hope over despair. Why? Because we can trust God fully. You can trust God with the little things. Those little things, those little worries, those little concerns you have, those daily troubles, those daily anxieties you have, you can trust God with those things. And you can trust God for the big things, the overwhelming things, the fearful things. You see, there is nothing in our lives that we cannot trust the Lord for and find Him trustworthy, faithful, and true. Never in a time will we trust the Lord and find that the gospel is not true. Never will we trust the Lord and find that He has left us or He has forsaken us, even for a moment. How do we know that? Because God has said. In fact, He has said that He has forsaken His Son on the cross so that He would never forsake us. Right? Faith is sure of that in our lives. Faith is sure of the goodness of God. Faith is sure of God's hand at work even when we can't see it. Faith is sure that Jesus is enough in our lives. So where is your faith today? Is it found in the Lord? that unshakable, unchanging rock who will not fail you? Or are you worried and anxious about so many other things because your faith is not in Him, but your faith is in other things? Maybe you need the telescope or the spectacles of faith today to be able to really see, to be able to take God at His word today. Maybe you need to be like the man in Mark chapter 9, who when he encountered Jesus and Jesus made some claims in his life and Jesus called him to believe that he could do the impossible. And you remember what the man's response was, is I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Maybe that would be our prayer today. You bow your heads this morning. Maybe this morning you would realize that you've never trusted Jesus to be the King of your life. You should know that there is no one, there is nothing else that is as trustworthy as Jesus. We can take Him at His word. That He alone can save us. That He alone is Lord and God. And maybe you struggle with doubt and reservation today about whether you can trust God with something in your life, whether something small or something big today. But hear Him call you to faith today, to trust Him without reservation, without doubt in your life, to trust Him fully in the end. Heavenly Father, I pray in this time of response, I pray that truly our response today would be faith. In whatever form that means for us in our lives, however that plays out in our lives, what it means for us to step out in faith today, Lord, I pray we would hear the call of faith, we would trust You without reservation, and we would follow you fully with all of our lives. Even to believe the improbable and the impossible, knowing that You can do all things. And You are the God who is at work in our circumstances and in our lives today. So Lord, I pray if there are places here where there is not faith, would you create faith? Would You give faith? Would You open the eyes of faith to be able to see the glory and the truth of the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord and His saving work for us on the cross, that people may believe and be saved today. Lord, may You give faith, grant faith to Your people. It's a gift to us. In Jesus' name.